This podcast of Left, Right, and Center is a production of KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com. Support this free service by September 5th and you could win a Mini Cooper S convertible. Go to KCRW.com for details.
From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, this is Left, Right, and Center.
You like potato?
And you like potato?
You like tomato?
And you like tomato?
Potato?
Potato?
Tomato?
Tomato?
Let's go!
Cindy Sheehan, anguished mother or budding candidate, plus Hillary Clinton's new nemesis and that John Roberts abortion ad. Hello again and welcome to Left, Right, and Center, your civilized yet provocative antidote to the screaming talking heads that dominate political debate. I'm Matt Miller, columnist for Fortune magazine and senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, holding down the center here on Left, Right, and Center. Joining me on the left side of our Santa Monica studio and the political spectrum is Robert Scheer, a syndicated columnist based at the Los Angeles Times. On the right from Washington, as always, is Tony Blankley, editorial page editor and columnist for the Washington Times. And joining me here in the Santa Monica mothership and in the fourth dimension of political time and space as well is our own Arianna Huffington, editor-in-chief and publisher or impresario of the Huffington Post. Welcome all. A busy and boisterous week. Cindy Sheehan, the mother of Casey, who tragically lost his life in Iraq, is at the, what's it called, the Crawford Compound or White House West or near George Bush's summer White House where he's on vacation, gaining increasing attention for protest, her desire to speak with the president. She is a fervent war opponent who feels her son, I guess, died in vain and wants to help others avoid that fate. She has been writing about this. She's been talking to our own Arianna Huffington about this. Arianna, where does this story stand and what do you think the stakes are?
Well, today is day seven of Cindy Sheehan being outside the Crawford Ranch trying to see the president and ask him questions and ask him why her son died and what are we going to do about all those tens of thousands still in harm's way. The president has refused to see her. I talked to her yesterday. She blogged for the Huffington Post, in a beautiful blog where she talked about the need for the president to have his accountability moment, as she put it, which was not the election, but it is now. She is absolutely amazing. For me, what makes her so remarkable is that she provides the leadership which the Democratic leaders have failed to provide on the war. She's fearless. She's not going to back down. She said to me very clearly, I'm going to be here until August 31st, if he doesn't see me before that. When he leaves on August 31st, I'll follow him to Washington. So they're either going to take me away in a squad car or I'm staying here. And that's the kind of leadership that has been missing. So she's providing a kind of personification for people's anger and frustration, for the over 60% of Americans who are beginning to feel that the war is a mistake and that it's actually making us less safe than we were.
Now, I want to get Tony in, but certainly there are lots of mothers of folks who have lost their lives in the war who are apparently war supporters as well. So the fact that she is has the moral authority that comes from her loss, which is deep, doesn't mean she represents all mothers of slain Iraqi soldiers.
She represents the dissatisfied majority of Americans who want something different to be done in Iraq.
Well, Tony, what do you make of it?
Well, look, nobody ought to, and I certainly won't, question any way that the grieving Gold Star mother expresses any thoughts she has on the topic. I think what's more noteworthy is the extraordinary amount of press attention that is being given to it, which didn't happen in the past. There have been obviously grieving mothers, the famous one during the Civil War, Lydia Bixby of Boston, who lost a number of sons, and she turned very angrily against Lincoln. He had written her a very lovely note, but she was beyond being getting over her grief and became a supporter of the Confederacy. And he continued graciously to write a nice letter to her. Obviously, there is opposition to the war and the support for the war, and there are going to be relatives of the soldiers who are going to be on both sides of that. It's worth noting that the rest of her family sent her issued a statement saying that they disagree with her and they fully support the president and respectfully remember their son or brother or nephew, as he may have been to each of the relatives of the family. So she's expressing her sentiments the way she's given to do so, and that can't be questioned. But to say that this is therefore a large political fact, it's only being made a large political fact by the media, which is giving it more coverage than they did during other wars when there were also grieving mothers.
Bob?
Well, I think, frankly, the discussion misses the point. What Cindy Sheehan has done has been able to remind us of the cost of the war. This war was sold as cost-free, both in dollars and in lives. And because we don't have a draft, even though we have more significant opposition at this point to the war in Iraq than we did to Vietnam, we had a draft in Vietnam. And, you know, it's been raised rhetorically, but I think it's real. Maybe we'd feel differently if the president's daughters had enlisted for this, if more of the people who have been cheerleading for the war were experiencing the pain, the sacrifice involved. But I think what she's been able to do is cut through the idea that this is without cost. Which is the way most people who supported the war have accepted it, that somehow, okay, I forget the words of some leading neoconservative, you just slap some crummy country against the wall every once in a while to establish your power. But what we're being reminded of daily is the horror of war. And given that this war was based on lies, that it cannot be defended in any real terms, I mean, I don't know of anybody with any credibility who says that the original justifications for the war have held up in any way, and that includes...
At some point, we can re-engage that.
I understand.
Debate.
We're not going to refight it every week.
Yeah, but it's not irrelevant to the discussion. And what she's basically saying is my son was sacrificed in vain. That's the issue here. It's not, you know, you bring up the Civil War, you can bring up any war you want, but the fact is the issue that is not being addressed is are people dying in vain? Is it necessary? Or should we bring them home sooner? That's the real issue here. It's not a game. It's not a chess game. There's not an end game to politely discuss. Is it worth the sacrifice of one more American life? And I can assure you, if we had a draft and our children were involved and were going to be going, we'd feel a much greater sense of urgency about bringing an end to this war. And that's what her message is all about.
I think that's an important piece of it. But let me, instead of just refighting the war every week through whatever thing is happening that week, let me stipulate with Barack Obama, there are patriots who supported the war, there are patriots who opposed the war. But the point you make is important, and in some of the sort of dust-up that we've seen around the Cindy Sheehan thing, where it sounds like some of the conservative commentators, Rush Limbaugh, others, none of whom who have relatives or themselves are off in this war, I think, but what Bob says is right. Because the sacrifice involved, which is not different than other wars, and there's also lots of parents who've had this loss and relatives who have felt this loss who support the war still. Because it's not shared, it is crazy. There's something really off and immoral feeling about it. And I don't want to go back over stuff where we've talked about, you know, cutting taxes at the time of war, but it's all in the same spirit. And for me, this may personify that, although I have to confess, I've been taking something of a TV holiday. And when I first saw the topic come around of Cindy Sheehan, I said, who? Who is Cindy Sheehan? And so I guess reading the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the LA Times and the Washington Post, honestly, I had no idea that this is all the rage. And I actually feel healthier for having taken 24-hour cable news out of my diet, Ariana.
Well, you know, I want to go back to what Tony said at the beginning when he said that nobody ought to question Cindy Sheehan, because the truth of the matter is that dozens are questioning Cindy Sheehan, including your friend Fred Barnes, who called her a left-wing crackpot, including Hannity.
Not particularly my friend.
Well,
I mean, I know him.
Kind of your ideological
friend. We've never dined together.
But in the broad sense that all humans are friends, Tony.
I have a lot of friends, but it's not the entire conservative movement.
Alert the media. Tony Blankley disowns friend Barnes.
No, he's a pretty fine fellow.
He's a friend. He's a good friend.
He's an associate.
Okay, an associate. And beyond that, when you brought up the family, the rest of the family disowning Cindy Sheehan, let us just be very clear about that. Her husband, her estranged husband, is with her. Their other three children are with her. It's her in-laws. It's her sister, former sister-in-law, and some remote cousins who don't agree with her. But, of course, it's been presented as the family disowned Cindy Sheehan. I thought the Conservatives believed in a kind of nuclear family, or the nuclear family on this one is together. Maybe the village that Hillary Clinton was abused about bringing up is against her, but the family is with her. And more to the point, an enormous amount of Americans are with her. I mean, her blog on our site was linked to the homepage of AOL yesterday, and the traffic it generated, the comments it generated, were just truly moving and inspiring. So the point is that this woman is a symbol as well as being what she is in reality. And after all, that's how you move a debate. It's through symbols.
Yeah,
let me respond to something Robert said, because it is an important point, which is, we don't want one more life to be lost in vain. In vain. Henry Kissinger did, an extraordinary article.
I'm so glad we're bringing up Henry Kissinger.
So am I. That's why I'm doing it. Henry Kissinger wrote a really extraordinary piece in today's Washington Post titled Lessons for an Exit Strategy, and he compares the experience in Vietnam that he had a big role in with the current situation. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's about 1,000 words, but let me read a couple of sentences just because it makes a point. He says that the stake in the Cold War regarding Vietnam was perceived to be the political survival of independent nation states allied with the U.S. The war in Iraq is less about geopolitics and about clash of ideologies. Because of the long reach of the Islamist challenge, the outcome in Iraq will have an even deeper significance than that in Vietnam. Now, he goes on to, and you will probably take some heart from the second half of his article, he points out how hard success is going to be in Iraq. And that's probably going to be a useful topic for deeper policy discussion. But the idea that there is no real consequence to us if we leave, unless that any further life would be in vain, I think is deeply wrong.
Bob.
Yeah, look, Tony, I respect you greatly, and yet why?
Sounds like
why,
a butt is coming.
No, it isn't. Why in the world?
Another butt muggy.
No, it isn't really. Why in the world would you quote such a shameless hypocrite as Henry Kissinger about an affair in which we now have ample historic record when we lost in Vietnam? Communist Vietnam and Communist China went to war. The whole basis of the Vietnam War was a nonsense. Kissinger knew it in real time that it was nonsense. And so the idea that somehow leaving American soldiers there while they played their games had something to do with the Cold War, something to do with independent nations, is just absurd. And I would argue that a similar kind of curious reasoning is being applied to Iraq. In fact, every day we stay there, we are increasing Islamic fanaticism. We are a recruiting poster for Islamic fanatics. And to say that if we get out, when we are essential to the whole insurgency. In fact, the best chance of defeating the insurgency is to get the U.S. presence out of there and let the Iraqis settle their own affairs. It seems to me, I mean, you're turning history on its head again and you know, abandon Kissinger. He's a lost cause.
He's not
yes,
a lost cause.
He
is probably the single most brilliant understander of foreign policy around the world. And moreover, he is on my dust cover on my book, The West's Last Chance, which will be coming out on September 11th.
Just a last on this before we need to take a break. Ariane.
Just the last comment I want to make is that Cindy Sheehan is asking the president to answer one question. When he said that her son died for a noble cause, she wants to know what is that noble cause, because that noble cause has been changing every month, you know, from WMD, we're now down to spreading democracy in Iraq, which we're not doing a very good job at achieving. And the bottom line here is that it's becoming increasingly clear that not only is there no noble cause, but our own safety is being endangered by perpetuating this disgraceful war in Iraq, which is making this nation less secure than it would have been if we were not in Iraq. And ultimately, that's what can bring, I think, this country together.
Up ahead, who is Jeanine Pirro Plus? Slinging mud at John Roberts. You're listening to Left, Right, and Center.
Find more Left, Right, and Center programs and podcasts at kcrw.com.
back again with Left, Right, and Center. I'm Matt Miller in the center. Bob Shearer is with me here on the left. Tony Blankley in Washington on the right. Arianna Huffington also here in Santa Monica and somewhere beyond. Let's turn to New York and Hillary Clinton, where the big news this week was that Jeanine Pirro, 54, the district attorney in Westchester County, has announced that she is going to be a candidate for the Senate against Hillary Clinton in 2006. Prognosticators who are looking at this in the Republican Party, I think, excited that this is a way to frame the debate about Hillary and that there will be a way to, if not beat her, but who knows, anything can happen in politics, take a bite out of her and cast the debate entirely as she's looking only ambitiously toward 2008. Tony, you must have been at the meetings of the conspiracy that helped cook up this, what seems like a very smart political move. You've also thought about it and written about it. What do you think it means?
Well, she doesn't have the nomination yet. Eddie Cox, the in-law of Richard Nixon, the boss of Henry Kissinger, just to keep the whole family together there, has announced some weeks ago that he was running. He's much more conservative than Ms. Pirro, and it's not a certainty that she would win the Republican primary. Assuming that she does and can also get on the conservative party ticket in New York, that is also a value to a voter. It's possible, and I would say possible, if a campaign is able to elevate itself sufficiently to get attention and get Hillary's attention and get the media's attention, for her to be a real nuisance to the junior senator from New York. It's unlikely she can win. Hillary's ahead 63-29 right now. But on the other hand, the only way Hillary can go is probably down. She can't get much more than 63%, and she could easily slip into the 50s, which would be a perfectly satisfactory win, but will seem less so given the fact she's starting off with a 34-point advantage. And so obviously Republicans see this as an opportunity to put Hillary through the paces, to damage her a little bit, to force her to respond to a very aggressive and smart woman. And I think it's an advantage to be a woman because men need to be careful when they're – male politicians have to be careful when they engage in debates with female politicians, not to look too aggressive, et cetera. But another female can be as aggressive as she wants. So it'll be a good campaign, obviously, from a Republican point of view. I suspect Hillary will win in the end, and she'll still be probably the favorite for the nomination for the presidency for the Democrats. Whether she'll be a prohibitive favorite or only a favorite after this is probably what the issue is.
You're a woman, Arianna. What do you make of this?
Well, the issue actually here, the central point of the Pirro campaign, if she wins the nomination, is going to be, is Hillary Clinton running for president? And that really is what her campaign needs to be all about. If she just keeps asking the question, are you going to give us a straight answer? Are you running for president? If you're running for president, why are you also running for the Senate? So that you basically have this whole election, are there for just a few months before you start running for the primaries. And if she makes that the central point of her campaign, she's going to focus on the Hillary Clinton hypocrisy of refusing to say straightforwardly, yes, I'm running for president, which she has not done and is not willing to do because it makes nonsense of running for the Senate. And that's all she needs to do. I mean, if that's what her campaign should be about.
And keep her husband's jail record sort yes. of out of the
yes,
news.
Yes, they both have controversial husbands, so they need to keep
kind Although, of... How does that happen, by the way, that the prosecutor in Westchester County's husband went to jail for tax stuff? Is that right? I mean, the fact that she survived that is, I guess, impressive on its own. But I want to get Bob into this, too. But, Tony, you've been around the political block, obviously. Bill Clinton's a smart guy. Hillary Clinton's a very smart lady. They know that if it's Jeanine, the question is all about, you know, it's going to be I'm the only woman who really wants the job and they're going to vote for a full-time woman instead of a part-time woman. What would the Clintons be shaping as their answer? How many times can you say, I have no current intention of
especially when you're about to break it.
Normally a candidate in her position is going to try to ignore the opponents. And she's already started that correctly. She said, you know, I'm going to be your full-time senator, and it's too soon to be talking about this politics. The same thing Bush tried to do, through most of the Democratic primary season.
But if it's Jeanine at some point. If it's Pirro at some point, how does she deal with it?
I mean, there are two paths. One, she can lie, which is what her husband did in his last campaign for governor. He said, I'm going to serve out the term, and then he didn't, and people didn't care because they're supporters. You know, she can do it just a little bit less than a lie, and the only people who are really going to be outraged are the Hillary haters, and they weren't going to vote for her anyway. I don't think it's much of a loss for her to go back on an almost word on that. Yeah, it sounds a little cynical, but I think that's probably the best judgment. So she'll make some statement that she fully intends to serve out a term or something, and then she won't. And the people who like her, which is a lot of Democrats in New York, won't care.
Bob?
Oh, thank you. I think you guys have gone off the wrong end here again. I think I'm the only.
We should give Bob a sign. Well, let me
just say, I think I'm the only.
I think he's not questioning the topics.
Well, let me just say, New York. I am a native New Yorker, and I even cheered wildly. Probably the most exciting political moment of my life when Franklin Delano Roosevelt visited the Bronx, and I refused to believe that New Yorkers would be unhappy to have a New Yorker be president, particularly a progressive New Yorker. That's absurd. I don't think this issue will stick. New York expects to produce presidents, just as California does, unfortunately, just as Texas does. And I don't think people are going to punish a candidate who has a national
lies.
Well, you're making it the lies.
And no.
Oh, please, Arianna, let me just finish. I know you don't like Hillary, but I don't want to revisit that one. I respect Hillary.
There'll be nothing we can talk about.
So I don't think that's a starter, and I think Hillary will be better at. This is easy. There's no competition for her in New York. The problem with Hillary as a presidential candidate, she bothers me a bit, much as I respect her. I think she has a great appeal not as being a liberal, but being sane. I mean, the great reason we want somebody like Hillary to be president as opposed to the neocons and the right-wing religious fanatics that are being suggested is that we think she's sane. She's centrist. She's something. Now, my problem with Hillary is that she did support the war. I know we're not allowed to revisit that. My problem with Hillary is that she's moved over to the right of the Democratic Party, which I happen to think is bankrupt. I don't think we need to become more Republican. And so I wish her well in the Senate race, but I am worried about her progression to a more opportunistic right of the Democratic Party, which I think will not develop a position that can mobilize the people who want peace and the people who want to have a more aggressive, progressive social agenda.
The other thing about the Jeanine Pirro thing that's interesting to me as a matter of our current political media culture is this is the first time I've seen an example, and it wasn't her words, but it came from a friend of her who said in all the articles announcing that she was going to throw her hat in the ring that the way she viewed this is running for Senate against Hillary as opposed to running for statewide, say, for Attorney General or something else, for a state office, was that this would either, you know, if lightning struck, she'd become a senator. But even if it didn't, the attention and celebrity would deepen her chance for a really better TV job. And she said that. And, you know, like we know, I think some of us thought maybe that was behind the Alan Keyes race last time. You know, that might have been his hope in moving from Maryland to Illinois to run against Obama. But I don't think I've ever seen the candidate say it explicitly. So we've reached a new high or a new low or a new something. Arianna.
Well, just very quickly, I want to sort of respond to what Bob said. It's not at all that I don't like Hillary. I actually like Hillary. It's the fact that I don't believe that there should be any chance of a Democratic nominee who does not have a clear, unequivocal position on Iraq. And right now, Hillary's position on Iraq is indistinguishable from George Bush's position
on Iraq.
It's
clear. You don't like it.
Excuse me, Arianna. But it's not about not liking her. It's about not liking her position.
Oh, I know, but her position is clear. You don't like her clear position.
But her position is exactly identical to George Bush's right now. It's her position is that we cannot have an exit strategy. I'm uncomfortable. It's the last thing she said with an exit strategy.
Right.
We should stay there.
She's clear about that. You don't like her position.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. I'm clear that she should not be the nominee while she has that disastrous position on Iraq,
but
which
her
is
position
indistinguishable
is clear.
From the Republicans.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
It's clear and wrong.
Okay, all right. I just want to take a
minute. I think I clarified that, Tony.
Excuse me. I want to just take a minute to challenge this. First of all, I agree with you on Iraq. I said that.
just before you spoke. I said that's my concern with Hillary. Where I think we differ is you have, at least in the past, been very harsh about this woman, as others have, and you like this word liar about her husband and so forth. I don't feel that way. I'm very grateful that we have the Clintons in leadership in the Democratic Party. My concern about Hillary is that she's moving away from a progressive position, and I have the right to state that. But I, you know, as individuals, I think they're great.
What do you think she's moving away from, by the way? I mean, Tony, I want to get you back in. We only got a minute left in this, but she wants health coverage for every American. She wants better educational opportunities for low-income Americans.
You know, Matt, you know the difference, I think, between having a position and positioning yourself. And as someone who's interviewed Hillary and Bill Clinton, I have no doubt in their brain and let alone their heart, they know what the right things to do, and they are progressive people. I have no question about it. The danger and the is in the opportunism. It's in positioning yourself. And what Hillary is now trying to do, and I think it's what she did on the Iraq War, and I think it's morally disastrous as well as politically disastrous, she positioned herself so she could, they couldn't use the war issue and patriotism against her. And I think what we, one thing we should learn
because
from
you
the,
disagree with Obama no, that no, it's inconceivable me, that somebody no, no, who's please, thoughtful Matt, would actually
Matt,
have supported
Matt,
it.
Matt, what I'm saying is one thing we should learn from the right wing is that they didn't abandon their principles. They stuck to them, starting with Goldwater. They stuck to their principles. They educated the country to their positions, and they won. And I think it would be a disaster for Democrats to follow this opportunistic line of trying to be, you know, ultra patriots and support a stupid war. And which,
you're assuming her insincerity.
Killed. Right. I am on that issue. Absolutely,
right.
It's positioning yourself.
Yes,
I know you do.
Right.
But I assume that your position, even though you may be sincere, is deeply wrong, and it's confusing to me for an intelligent person like yourself to have supported the war in this way.
Bob, you've said
I'm
it
giving,
so many times.
I'm
I know it's
Hillary,
confusing, but
no,
we can't
giving,
solve
I'm
that
giving
today.
Hillary
I want to
the
give
benefit
Tony
of the doubt
chance.
By saying that maybe opportunism explains it rather than a failure of logic.
Tony, briefly before we rant.
What's interesting is that what Robert says, and I assume she's really liberal at her heart unless she's being insincere, is a strategy that everybody understands, that Hillary's going to be able to move to the right and wink to the left. The question is if the left starts thinking that maybe she's really moving to the right, in which case she won't have that free pass. Conservatives don't have – Republicans don't have that pass. You can't be a liberal in the Republican Party and wink to the right. We won't vote for you.
We have reached that time once again for our famed end of show, Left, Right, and Center rant featuring pet peeves across the political spectrum. Bob Scheer, only about 20 seconds each. It's your soapbox.
It's interesting how the issue of one campaign then disappears. Gay marriages was supposed to be a big issue, and I can't even find information about what's happened in Canada and Spain. But the last time I was able to follow this, it seems that both have developed an enlightened, what I consider to be an enlightened position, accepting gay marriage. I haven't heard that Spain has collapsed or Canada has collapsed, that there are riots in the streets, that the family has been destroyed, that God has disappeared. And so it seems to me when there's really positive news as there have been in the gay marriage issue, the media somehow ignores it.
15 seconds, Tony.
I'm delighted that NARAL is out spending money against Judge Roberts. I hope they'll spend a lot more because they're undercutting what little credibility the criticisms of Roberts have. And they had to, of course, withdraw their ad, and I hope they'll publish and then withdraw several more.
Briefly, Arianna Huffington.
Very briefly, it's all about authenticity. And Cindy Sheehan is powerful because she's authentic, and Hillary Clinton is going to be trouble for the Democrats because she's inauthentic, triangulating, and calculating, and opportunistic.
That's all the ideas we have time for today on Left, Right, and Center. Thanks, as always, to Bob Scheer, Arianna Huffington, and Tony Blankley. Sarah Spitz produced today's program. Our technical director is Ray Guarna. I'm Matt Miller. Tune in next week for more Left, Right, and Center.
You got pajamas.
Well, we know we need each other, so we better call the calling of all.
Audio archives and podcasts of KCRW programs are at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about Left, Right, and Center, email lrc@kcrw.com. Left, Right, and Center is produced and distributed by 89.9 KCRW Santa Monica and kcrw.com.